again. Different recording. You can do the.
I'm just the interim recorder.
What?
I'm just the interim recorder.
We hold elections.
What?
We're holding elections.
Well, I think Yakov, if you don't mind doing it. It's our pleasure. Okay, so let's begin. I'm going to start calling the list on the Tuesday. Let's make sure by Tuesday we have the full proper list. If anybody, again, needs to put their name on it, I have it right here. Okay, tomorrow we'll have regular 2 o'clock. We'll try to keep to the regular schedule, 2 o'clock. And, hopefully, by Tuesday we should finish up most. By Tuesday I'll give you at least Marma Homos for moving forward. So we were in the middle of discussing, before I get to discussing Talmud Al-Yor, just that final point, I think Isaac brought to my attention that the Maral in the Baragola, Perik, or what does he call it? Be'er. Also has this, the suggestion I was making about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He says it more in a negative way than in a positive way. But again, it's that same idea that I have also found in the Chidah. Do we track down the Chidah in the end or not? We did?
I know where it is, I look it up.
What?
I know where it is, I look at it also.
How did you, if you don't know where it is, how did you look at it?
The Ozohadar.
Oh, in the Ozohadar, yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's, it's good to know, that, anyways, this idea that, the good, the etiquette, and the openness, I guess, contributes to a better result, a more honest examination, greater rigor and scrutiny and so on, and leads you to a better conclusion, that it's not, a reward for the etiquette per se. Again, so the Maral says that the Baragolas, the Maral's, it's a very interesting, everything about Maral writes is very interesting, of course, but this is one of his works on difficult Mamare Chazal. So he's trying to explain categories of difficult Mamare Chazal and how one should approach them. So that's what Be'er HaGola is. And the Be'er HaChamishi, he starts off, very beautifully. Be'er HaChamishi, Mayim Amukim, B'mitzulosav, Avnei Yakar, Kakam Kim, Yodei Shayet Margolios Mipi Kim, beautiful poetry. Nirim Avnei Nachal Chalakim, Domim Tsroros, V'avanim ruchakim v'hema avanim notitzim kivrakim ad sof ha'olam mavhikim. Anyways, then he talks about the I could not read that. Hatuna chamishis, where he where people say, oh, there are some divrei chazal that seem, nonsensical or absurd. Shenir lefi maris ha'ayin shem dvarim shem b'mamish klal, etc. Hagada shel dofi. So he explains that, of course, you have to take them in context, that you have to know esoteric literature too, that people who have a great track record, in terms of their intelligence and their rationality. So why would you project that they're saying things that are absurd? You should have a little humility and assume that you just don't understand fully what they're getting at, or you don't understand the context or the framework, etc., which is all very good direction for all of us. Anyway, so in the context of that, so he talks about being open, on the one hand, to people's criticism and to their opposing views, but at the same time, how that openness contributes, to a better examination. Exactly what we said, and he quotes Beis HaMaish, he says, Amnam, Dabar Zeh, Ein Roi Lechacham Mevino Emet La'ayim B'divrei Mitnagdo B'sina, it's also important, V'avchach Me'umos Uchiku Zeh. He says, the philosophers even understood this, and Kal v'chomer Chazal, Shekach Kosav Pilosof, B'sefer Shemayim V'olam, why it's important to be open to opposing views. The first one is because you have to respond to them, and the second one is because, if you're an Ohev HaEmes, so then, you can examine this with an open mind. Kol Shekein Kishin Nesader Tchila Taina Sacholkim V'achar Kach Datenu, right? People shouldn't think that you're so invested and that your ego and your desire to win, is really what's koveya. V'lo nashkiach b'dad zulateinu. You have it up there. V'nivze otam. And then he says, you know, because, you know, this is the, ends up being a way of gauging, you know, the strength of your argument. V'roi mi sheyirtza ladun b'din ha'emet, sholi emach is lebal machlokto, sonelo, achroi sheyeh, modelo, chomelolav, medabri bo benachas, and so on. And that's the quotation of the philosopher. And then he says, harei lecha sheyizke shelotia asine mekalkelas ashura, lishpot al dvar, al divrei bal ribo, ba'ayin hakina, ki ba'ayin hachemla. V'lo yivakesh l'tchot dvarab, b'yan chazak rakit nahegi mo, kemoshu nahegi matzmo, kemoshu misayim dvarab. And then he says, ukekol advar mo'elo omru chazal, b'yoser shleimus, the perikam of the Erevin, b'pneimad zachu beitzil l'kva alach kemosan, shenochin hein v'aluvin. V'shonim divrei v'sham v'divrei shamai, v'lo'o v'lo shemakdim in divrei sham v'divrei. Me'ata yesh lish'ol ma'inyan zeh shati alach kemosan. Right, the b'shvil shiu ma'shpilin ma'atzman, ein roi shati alach kemosan, ke alach tola b'zeh, shat Torah shalahem l'fi halacha, v'lo b'pnei shiu ma'ktin in atzman. Rak, she'elo advarim kulam, usiba atzmis, sheyomer advarim amitiim l'fi halacha. Kimachar she'enochin, nimshach divrayim, achar emes, ki kasher yichos harei mikoach hakas, nir sherotza l'hachzik dvarav, b'koach uv'yad chazaka, rotza l'natzeach, b'usar midarach emes. Again, it's the same idea. He happens to be formulating it more in a negative way. Namely, you want to eliminate the ego part. If you can eliminate the ego part, then, you know, that's... but I think it's even more than that in light of our discussion of Eniodeia. And it's also just, you know, the being, you know, exposed and open and modest and having, you know, commitment to honesty. And yet... you know, relentlessly, tenaciously clinging to your conclusion because you really do think it's true, that, you know, is a sign of greater truth. And then he says, "Ubadavar zeh naflu kama nashim shasina poel hem shiroim derech hamishar right ha'oleh bayis el derech hakuma baba mashveh lehem haharim lebika bilohi mabitim ledivrei chachamim ve'ein ha'sechel musar menakina v'yim etzar fin divrei ma'ashar b'makom acher." And so on. This is his way of saying, you know, you instead of being, you know, it's fine to be critical, but being critical and being negative, and especially, you know, not being done kafskus, people have an incredible track record, is just kind of an absurd way, you know, to assess things. Anyway, so that's the thank you. That's another expression of this important idea. Again, more negative, but it's just two sides of the same coin, and it's exactly what we're saying. Anyways, getting back to where we were, so last time we went through the Gemara in Ksuvos and Erevin. We already read through the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We're trying to analyze a little more fully the takana of Talmud Yora Elim Kinatal Rishus Mi Rabo, and how that fits into classical smicha and smicha, or the Rishus rather, of Nasi and Reish Kedusha. And we've noted that definitely there's a lot of overlap. The Rambam has Yora Yora. In Perek Dalid, the Gemara has it in the Shaka Vitaria of Nasi and Reish Galusa, which the Rambam anyways subsumes in Perek Dalid. And the question then becomes how to look at this particular takana in terms of, you know, in broad strokes, very narrowly, in which case it's more of an extraneous idea to, you know, ensure, you know, or to prevent, let's say, to preclude Michshol. Or whether or not this too isn't part of a posture and responsibility and therefore becomes also a precondition of authorizing somebody to be a Mora Hora, to be a posek. And I think that there are different indications of that, but that there's a lot of overlap between these two ideas too. So in the narrower sense, are we dealing with something that is a prerequisite for and a substantive element in psak? In which case, we also would want to know technically what is the relationship to actual smicha and atilas rishus. And the Ran, quoting the Ramban and himself and Rav David Bonfield, has several very interesting perspectives on that, which we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. In other words, if you have smicha, do you need also rishus mirabo? Is rishus mirabo prerequisite for smicha? You know, what impact? We already know the discussion of Tosin Tosarash, but also the perspectives of the Ran and the Ramban and Rav David Bonfield on terms of, you know, malpractice in Yore Yore. So the actual relationship to smicha is discussed in the Chachmei Svarad more, but the bigger question of how we look at this takana is something that is addressed by other Rishonim too, especially you know, especially given the other possibility that it's more a din in Kvod Rabo. Again, is Kvod Rabo something that is completely extraneous, or is that too something in light of our discussions of smicha and shlichus ayu, and in general, something that has to do also with, you know, perceiving yourself and your role in a certain way. But what is the relationship between the ishur part, let's say, and the kvod rabo part of this takana? That's the main question that we are discussing. Again, if you look at the Gemara, now that we've seen all the Gemaras, so our sugya in Sanhedrin really is a mixed bag, because on the one hand, as in the context and the continued inclusion of Yore Yore in the clearly more authorizing protocols points in one direction. On the other hand, the explanation of the Tam of the Gzeira could be understood narrowly, while I think probably it should be understood broadly. The question is, what is the connection? Second element is, what is the connection to the other din of Bifnei Rabo? And that comes up in several different ways. Number one, in our sugya, apparently there was one girsa that really formulated the din of this takana in terms of Bifnei Rabo. Right? That appears where, Isaac? What's that? Ben Yona, the Kiddush Aran quotes it, right? That there was a girsa, Talmud al Yora, Ela Bifnei Rabo, right? Elam Kein Nato Rishos. So if you have that girsa, so then if you don't have the girsa, then it's in our sugya, then it's less, more tenuous in our sugya, but it's based on the continuation, you know, in the Gemara. But we don't know that that continuation is the same din. It could just be, you know, a related din or a separate din. But if you have the girsa, then clearly we're integrating these two things together. In the sugya in Erevin, there's no explicit mention of our Gemara, of Talmud al Yora Elen Kei Natal Rishus Mirabo, but as we already know, and we'll speak about some of the shittas in just a moment, it possibly is very explicit there too. And what, under which conditions? If Rabba's second category, namely not Bifnei Rabo, but Shalom Bifnei Rabo, or Shalom B'Makom Rabo, if that's a reference to this particular din, which sounds that way from Tosas in Sanhedrin, as we read, I think it's the last thing that we read last time, the final line of Tosas in Sanhedrin seems that way. Not Mukhrach to read it this way. Certainly the Rivash read it that way. Some of the Rishonim in Erevin probably read it differently. We'll get back to that in just a moment. But if you read it like the Rivash read Artosis and simple pshat of Artosis, so again, these two halachos are at least put together. Now, it doesn't mean that they're identical, because you still have to ask the question whether or not, you know, halacha number one and halacha number two of Rabba, you know, are the same, you know, just, you know, with a quantitative expansion. But certainly more likely that they're connected. Yeah?
Doesn't Rabbeinu Yonah disentangle them? You know, like, how does that
hear? Say again?
Doesn't Rabbeinu Yonah disentangle the two of them? I mean, he says, even though he has the Kirsa of Bifnei Rabo, he says that Bifnei Rabo just means when your Rabo is alive.
Yeah, so we'll get back to that. But there is a Kirsa, that's his explanation of it.
Right.
My point was that there is such a Kirsa. We'll get to Rabbeinu Yonah later on, but it's true that he is working to negate it. The Girsa appears in Rabbeinu Yonah and also appears in the Chidushei Haran, who I don't think negates it or works to negate it. But I'm interested just in other words, the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah is the hard work he has to do, even if he acknowledges the Girsa. I'm just trying to show that the connection isn't just necessarily that there's another Gemara. Right, again, this, in the Ran, which I have in front of me, meaning, and then he goes on to explain his view, which we'll get to it soon. I mean, what are the geographic parameters of this? Is it, you know, Lefanov, is it Gimel Parsos, is it called, you know, Kol HaOlam? But he actually is not rejecting this idea, right, where he's, you know, he's actually accepting it. But the point is that there was a, some of the Chachmei Sfarad had the girsa that the Takana itself is connected to Bimkom Rabba. What you do with it, it's actually, if you have that girsa and you work hard to neutralize it methodologically, it shows that you really think that these are two different demons. And we'll get back to that. But the girsa itself is important. So now, if there is this connection, whether it's the more tenuous Hemshech HaGemara here, but especially the Girsa here, one way or another, and the possibility that this is included in Rabbah, we still need to understand the Gemara there. Is Kvod Rabbo, is Staya Milsa, is it Kvod Rabbo, are those two the same, which we already discussed? And we still need to know whether or not, you know, the difference between Bifnei Rabbo, which is Chayiv Misa, Misas, Bidei Shemayim, and this extension, whether that difference is only quantitative or not. Okay, so just another word about that very quickly. If we take the view that Talmud al Yoreh Elim Kenato Rishus Mei Rabbo is included in Rabbah, in the second level of Rabbah. Right. So again, the question is, are these still the same type of dinim or not? But at least we understand, you know, where it fits in. You know, it solves one problem, and that's what motivated Tosis. If you take the view that the second level of Rabba is expansive geographically, meaning, in other words, the first level of Rabba is expansive, doesn't apply only to the fun of Mamish, but applies to Gimel Parsos. So then the second is obviously more expansive, and if there are no limits to that, then the problem that the Rishonim had was, so, like, where's there room for this Gezeira? And especially if you take the view that, that both Dinam of Rav are Doraisa, which is the view of some Rishonim, so then, obviously not the view of Tosis in Sanhedrin, but it was the view, for example, of the Ran here and others. So if both dinam are doraisa, so just lemaisa, where's there room for this takana? If you take the view that the second level of Rabba is the takana, you've obviously solved that problem. So you've solved that problem, and you've also put this in a certain context, which gives it a default kavod, character, but not necessarily. You might say that that's exactly what these two dinim are. If it's not included as the second category, so if you have a more limited second category, then you're going to still have room for Talmud al Yorel and Kenat al Rishus, and both room practically, to explain where it fits in, and also possibly to suggest that it's a totally different type of din, but not necessarily. If you have a very expansive view, so you're really challenged to figure out, both practically and conceptually, why do you need such a din, and where does it fit in? So Rishonim actually do address that. What did some of the Rishonim say about this? Tovi, are you able to see? Gosh, Rishonim mostly in Eruvin. How do you sustain this takana if you take the view that Talmud al Yoreh, Bifnei Rabba means Gimel Parsos, and Shelo Bifnei Rabba means Chutz Mi Gimel Parsos, right? So where is there room for Netilas Rishus Mi Rabba being a requirement and making a difference, right? So the Rishonim give answers to that. Avrami? Yeah, so Tosis, we'll get back to that in a minute. Tosis in Erevin, right, Tosis in Sanhedrin gives the, doesn't address that part of it, but as we know, the Pashtus Tosis in Sanhedrin, as we said already, is going to tell you that don't worry about finding Talmud al Yoreh. That's the second, let's assume that's what he means, that's the second din of Rav. But Tosis in, if you can read just for a second, Tosis in Erevin says, no, Talmud al Yoreh applies where, in Achanami, in other words, the din of Kvod Rabo Shalobifanov, which applies, Chutz Migimel Parsos, applies and obliterates any need for such a takana, right? Except that, there's one, everybody agrees, based on the Shakuntari of the Gemara, that the takana, that the din of Shalom Bifnei Rabo, Rabba's second din, doesn't apply to a Talmud Kaver. Right? So maybe the din, if you don't mind, read that line, or read that, that's the bottom Tosas. We actually read all the most of the other Tosas then. Go ahead. Yeah, what's the question? Where's the question come in? Just read it very quickly. No, you don't need to start from the beginning. Start from... Yeah, so basically, yeah, read the re, although Marie also, because that just reinforces what we said the other time. Go ahead quickly. Even if it isn't really a chiddush, because remember, even though Tosas worked hard to show that Biyata B'Kutcha is much more than Rashi thought, and right, even Megillas Tainus is a little more than Rashi thought, but go ahead. B'Afil Biyata B'Kutcha Megillas Tainus. He knows he's not asking anything. So that's an interesting criterion for him, that it depends on the perspective of the Shoel. As we discussed the other day, is this about the Shoel? Is it about objectively? Right? Go ahead. And Domel Dvarach Shadi, Rabino Desar Sakina, this is, I mentioned before, Ke'en Dabar Chidashu, Shenotel Srara. That's on the Gemara in Kulin, right? That this is a din in Srara. Okay, good. But basically what then emerges is that the din of Talmud al Yoreh, Elim Ke'enotel Rishus Mirabo, is going to apply to Talmud Chaber. Right? So that's obvious or not obvious?
Not
so obvious, because you would have thought that a Talmud Gomor, but Talmud Chaver already has his own status. He doesn't necessarily need any kind of further authorization. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
He's already supposed to be saying
that. I think...
Why can't you just be saying that this is that the second name is that Rishus, like you said in Sanhedrin?
Well, he doesn't say it. So, I mean, but the point is that...
Also, Soser, Tosos, and Sanhedrin.
What?
It's also Soser, Tosos, and Sanhedrin.
Yeah, it seems
how
to be.
Soser?
I mean...
He says in Sanhedrin, he says explicitly that Talmud Chaver, it can't be that it's Talmud Chaver, Haber.
Yeah.
And he says it is. Pretty sure.
I think
Ellen can recommend give up post connect and maki Israel tzar chlo metal but chaber have that. He's saying the Gemara in here. He's saying that the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about a Talmud Chaber, and therefore we make the distinction. Again, I think that the other Rishonim say it even more explicitly in the name of Bali Dosis. If you want the, again, we'll just take, since I have it in my hands, Iran here. Atosis tosim derech acheres, pirshu b'fanav chayv misa v'hutov gimel parsos, shalom b'fanav chutz gimel parsos, osu midoraisa, that's tosim midoraisa, u'divrem koshim kein l'ma yitzrich ligzor hacha talmud al yoreb, v'hutzu v'lahamid gzeirizu b'talmud kaber. There's something, that's the way the Iran read it. I mean, there are some things that are not explicit in Tosas, but it does sound like that. Certainly, that's the way the Ron read. Okay, so let's just get a few of the other perspectives in first, and then we'll go back to it. So that's one distinction, Avrami. What else? So that is very important because let's read it like the Ron, certainly for the moment. It means that Talmud Ayora applied. That's not so pashut as all as we say that Talmud Ayora came not to Rishus Mirabo. Means that even a Talmud Chaver, even if he doesn't have an issue of Bifanav, right, has a requirement of licensing. Okay. Despite the fact that he's already a person of stature and that this isn't his guru, you know, this is just somebody who, not enough of a guru, I don't mean a guru, but you understand what I mean. Not enough of an authority figure, right, that is a problem of kavod, but he still needs somebody to sanction him. Okay, very important. Okay, keep going. What else? What's the other distinctions? That's a very important distinction. Now, if you take that distinction, I should also add, it would sound like, if you're like Tosis, number one, it says something about the kind of sanctioning that we're talking about. It also implies that the sanctioning is not midin kavod. Right? But that there is a substantive aspect to it, because Hidatka is not included in the din of, you know, Bifnei Rabo. So, again, I'm not saying it's impossible to say that, oh, these are different expressions of kavod, which I think we will say that in some other configurations, but for this particular one, I think the path of least resistance, the most likely, is that we're dealing with two different types of dinim. Right, as far as pure kavod is concerned, right, Talmud chaver b'fanav is an issue, and shelo b'fanav is not an issue. But you know, elam kenotel rishus mei rabo isn't you know a configuration or of that. It's not a variation or permutation of kavod, you know, rabo and that competition. It's more of a, you know, a sanctioning. Require somebody to endorse and to, you know, give smicha, I don't mean real smicha, give netilah, give rishus to, or at least vouch for some quality control in the person's status. But before we get to that's an important chilah. Right, so both Tosas in Erevin and Tosas in Sanhedrin are saying important things. Again, contrasting it with Tosas in Sanhedrin for the moment. So Tosfos in Sanhedrin is saying that is the second point of Rav. Right. So and that dafka, that it's not a reference to Talmud Chaver. So you might think that Tosfos in Sanhedrin is saying no, because this is just a din in Kod Rabba. If they had the Girsa, let's say the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran quote, that would work dafka very nicely. Unless you say that to begin with, Rav had two dinim and not one, you know, with different criteria. As Rava said, Bifanav, which anyways is expansive according to Bali Tosis to Gimel Parso, so maybe that's enough for the Kavod Halacha, right? So that is, you know, that's Misa, and so on. And that's, you know, Talmud Kaver, Talmud Gamor, doesn't make a difference. The second, what I'm really asking is, according to Tosis and Erevin, Talmud Kaver seems like it's a totally different din, and it's not a din in kavod. It's a din in you know, authorization. And what I'm asking is, according to Tosfos and Sanhedrin, you know, what do we really think?
Is it by virtue of the fact that it's all rubba, and rubba sounds like it's one din, just with different criteria? And we totally understand that. I mean, you're standing in the presence of the Rebbe, it's one thing. Or even if we're within Gimel Parsos, and when you're further away, you know, so that's a different story. So basically, that's what this is. And then Tosin Sanhedrin and Tosin Erevin are very, very different perspectives on the Takana. Should we say that Rava himself, you know, needs to be viewed differently? And what Rava is really saying is that when it's befun of, and especially, here's why I'm adding the especially, you don't have to say this, but, you know, given the Lishitas, according to Balitosis, it is Gimel Parsos, so it's a pretty wide, you know, berth to begin. So that's the Kavod Halacha. Beyond that, there's no din of Kavod. The second din of Rava is always an Elim Kane, not a Rishus din, an authorization din. That I'm not sure about. Okay, we'll see. Some people seem to weigh in parallel ways anyway. If you don't take either of these very important distinctions of Balitosis, either Erevin or Sanhedrin, so what about other ways to accommodate the Gzera or to limit the din of Bifnei Rabo, even the second din of Rabo? In other words, that there are three halachas. Yeah.
That even a Talmud Chaver has it in Kavod, just in a more local.
If it's in front of. Yeah.
So there is a din of Kavod there.
No, for sure. For sure that's the case. I mean, no one can deny that. The only thing we're saying is that the second din of Rava, that the Gemara says doesn't apply to Talmud Chaver, right? And we're trying to explain now that if the second din of Chaver doesn't apply to Talmud Chaver, and yet there is a din of LMK Natal Rishus Mirabo, which is what Tulsa says in Erevin. So is that with, there's no, once you get the Rishus, there's no din of Kavod. But there is a din of Kavod until you get Rishus. That's one way to look at it. I can't dismiss that entirely. What I'm saying is, it seems more likely to me that the reason that there's no din of Chutz Migimel Parsos per se, but there is a din of LMK Natal Rishus, is because these are two totally different din. It's not the second din of Rabba, you know, with a variation for Talmud Chaver. It's a totally different halacha. Whereas Tosis in Sanhedrin is saying that the second din of Rabba is Elim Kein Natal Rishus. So is that because he thinks the second din of Rabba also is not Kavod? Or is it because he thinks Elim Kein Natal Rishus is only a din in Kavod? But either way, Talmud Chaver is not included, according to Tosis in Sanhedrin. I'm suggesting basically two ways to read Tosin Sanhedrin, two ways to read Tosin Neirvin, but I'm preferring strongly, you know, one way for each, right? The Kavod way for Tosin and Sanhedrin, and the, you know, two different, totally different Dinim way for Tosin and Neirvin, and that's the reason that I'm doing it. Okay, what other distinctions? Anybody see the Ritva, the Mordechai, the Rajba citation of the of the Ravid, the Kedusha Ran here, right? What are some other distinctions? Let's take the more technical ones for the moment. Even though Rava's second halacha, you know, seems to be, you know, without boundaries, which makes it a problem, you know, both practically and conceptually to explain the Takana, maybe that isn't so, right? Mordechai and Erevin, anybody see? Mordechai? Are they giving that in the Maamar Kamos or not?
I saw like a citation of it.
Okay.
That's Sra.
What does he say?
I mean, he makes the point that the whole issue seems to be with Sra.
Well, because, but what? How does it limit it? The din of Chutzmi in the cases of the Gemara and Erevin, like the Gemara has problems. The Gemara and Erevin has cases which were Chutzmi Gimel Parso, seemingly, and there seems to be a Kepeda and Rava. You know, if it's not Talmud Chaver. So the Mordechai says that basically, what?
Does he say it depends if he shows up every now and then?
Yeah. That, in other words, the Rebbe shows up, you know, b'kvius, or b'miktsas kvius, it's not his city, he's not the Mardasra, but like he goes to Chicago a lot, he goes to Boston a lot, he goes to, you know, every couple of years, he I don't know how long, it's hard to know what the criterion for that is, that would be an interesting thing to figure out on a practical level. Conceptually, it doesn't matter to us so much. The point is, it's within his orbit. You know, he has some sort of stature there, you know, as he's known to that community, he has a relationship with that community. That's what Elim Kane, I'm sorry, that's the second din of Rama. But there are places, you know, it's not just about geography, you know, and it's not unlimited. It's a different way of defining the geography. That is the view of the Mordechai. The Ritva says something similar in Eruvin. Chutzmi Afrachia de Rabbo, meaning the rabbi, he's the rabbi of the local community or town, right? And he's also like the chief rabbi of the state, right? Just like we were talking in the beginning of the year, you know, Kol Pelech u'Pelech and Kol Ir v'Ir, right? So, you know, there are different types of overlapping, you know, jurisdictions. So it's a similar, it doesn't really, technically it's a little bit different. It's a similar idea, meaning chutz migimel parsos doesn't mean anywhere in the world, right? It means, even though this is his secondary and more, you know, a general jurisdiction, it's his chief rabbi jurisdiction, not his, you know, rabbi of the actual community. He doesn't know everybody's name, and, you know, he's, you know, he has a broader, you know, relationship there. So that's included in the Hagdara of Bifnei Rab. So if you take either the Ritva or the Mordechai, right, or anything like it, that leaves plenty of room for Talmud al Yorelim Kenat al Rishus Mirab. Right? It doesn't have to be, that could be, those things could be Doraisa, or as the case may be, they could be separate. There could be a third halacha. Now, what will that third halacha be? In other words, will it be, oh, well, if you're a Talmud Muvak, at least you need to get a sanction wherever you are, you know, because of kavod. You know, that's a permutation of kavod. Or is this a totally different halacha? This is about authorization, letting you loose in the community. You know, it's a more substantive din, not just a kavod din. That, I think, is still an open question. You have to look at formulations. But at least we understand how this is fitting it. More intriguing is the view quoted in the Ran, right? That the Rajba quotes in the name of the Raivid, also in Erevin, that the Raivid, that the Rajba and a Tshuva develops, namely Yaakov. What view?
That Rava is taking into account the there thereabout. Of a second in.
Well, put it this way, that to redefine, and some people think this is the Gruff thinks this is the Pshat and Rashi, also in the third parak of Sanhedrin, that disagree with Tosus on the Gimel Parsos issue. That's kind of what we mean. What do we mean by that? How does that work? Tosus takes a strong view, right? Tosus has an expansive view of the Chi of Misa Gimel Parsos, right? And therefore you have practically and otherwise a challenge to figure out, well, if the fun of means Gimel Parsos and Shalom fun of is Chutzmi Gimel Parsos, you know, what's left in the world, and that's what we've been discussing. You know, to say, oh, fine, the rest that is, you know, the Gzeira, or to say, you know, difference between Talmud Chaver, or to say, you know, there are limits on that, as we just discussed. But there's a whole group of Rishonim, Ravid, Rajba, you know, etc., who just think that is wrong. Right? Now, when the Gemara here in Sanhedrin says Gimel Parsos, that isn't a reference to Befunov, right, which applies to everybody. Rather, it is a reference to what? Shalom Befunov, basically. So that basically means that the din of number one, the Chi of Misa, is a lot more limited, right? It's really Befunov, despite what Tosa says. And a little bit of a different, you know, kind of halacha, too, right? Not just, oh, you're stepping on my jurisdiction, means you're right in front of me. Whatever that means. I don't know how in front, but whatever. But Shalom Bafanov then becomes limited to Gimel Parsos, and then Chutz Mi Gimel Parsos becomes, you know, fair game for the Takana.
That changes, right? The take on the Shaka Vitari also. hinges the take on the Tzach of Atari also.
How so?
The question from the other point of view is now asking that it was still Shalosh Bar Sos, not Befana Fana.
Correct. 100%. So, yeah. So this would be the Ravid quotes the name of the Rajba. The Rajba quotes the name of the Ravid. And let's say we have it here, since I have my round here. Right, that's the other view that is being explained and maintained in the Girsa. Right? The Ein Chayiv Misa, Rizel, the Talmud Gamur, Aval Talmud Chaver, right? Betoch Gimel Parsos, Mutter, which is, of course, against Bali Tosis. Lefi Zu, Gzeira Zu, Shehim Bidrabanan, Hava Betalmud Gamur, Chutz Le Gimel Parsos, the Betoch Gimel Parsos, Ika Isura Doraisa. Tosis Tosim Derech Acheres. So we already discussed how he reads Tosis in Eruvin. Oh. So what's fascinating about this is the way the Ran formulates it. Does it sound like an expansion of the same din or not? Shai. The way the Ran formulates this view of Toch. I'm sorry. Befanav means Befanav Mamish, right? Shelo Befanav means Gimel Parsos, and Elam Kenato Rishus Mirabo is Chutz Migimel Parsos. So is that a totally different halacha? That's an authorization halacha, not a kavod halacha, and that's why it's more expansive. Or just if you're a Talmud Mubak, so you're always Bifnei Rabcha. Or I think I have two ways to look at it. It's always considered Bifnei Rabcha. I think that's, and they're enough Kamina. It's always considered Bifnei Rabcha wherever you are, because that's who you are. Or, no, it's Shalom Bifnei Rabo, you know, but, and it's even Chutz Migimel Parsos, but the Chiyuv Kavod for Talmud Mubak just extends, you know, significantly beyond. So is it a din in Kavod or authorization? In the Ran, and especially if you're being Mekayim, the Girs of Yeshnu Skol, Shekosim Al Yorah Halakha Bimkom Rabo, right? So he's basically saying that if you're a Talmud Mubak, it's still called Bimkom Rabo. Right? So that's his expansion. On the other hand, the way that the Rajba quotes the Ravid, how does that go? Well, before we get to that, did I give you the Ran and Erevin to look at too? Yeah. Right? So the Ran in Erevin has a line in which he says the fact that there is no geographic limitation in Talmud al Yorah Elam Kein Natal Rishus Mei Rabo, is just quantitative. Also, like the Chiddush Ran here, you know, Chiddush Ran is probably not the Ran. Yeah. You have a line?
Not the Ran.
We'll get to the Rajma in just a second. Okay. What I want to say is that the Ran here and the Ran there both see the expansiveness. Either, again, the Ran here sees it as a Hagdara Bimkom Rabo still, maybe. And the Ran in Erevin also just sees it as an extension of the Din Kavod. However, the Rajba, yeah.
We're
going to
say that at the Rabbanan level, they expanded within the Rabbah.
Yeah, correct.
So, it's not, so, to the
Raisa,
there is no kind of...
Beyond that geography?
They extended that Abdara.
Correct, yeah. That's how I think the Ran... anybody have the language or not? Of the Ran in Arabic?
The
Chedusha. The Chedusha, yeah. All right, because Sir Ben Yodas in the back of the Gemara, but... what does the Rajba say? The Rajba has in the name of the Ravid, has an important chiddush. Well, how does he see it? Avram, go ahead.
The Ravid compares to the Achashat Rasal's mutter. In Tomar, typically, There's someone that nafka mina lahecha did not tell Rishos Mirab Echad, Rachel Yisra Rab Acher, who roughly meant Gimel Parsal is a Mutter, but Afbisho did not tell me many Rishos. Toshos Parsal is Olam Asher, Afbisho did not tell me many Rishos.
What's he saying?
Saying that if you have that, it seems to be more of an authorization thing, that if you have.
If you?
It seems to be more of an authorization, that if you have Rishos from a different Rab, even if you didn't have Rishos from another one, it's still okay.
This is a very important point. Right, the Rajba says in the name of the Ravid that the difference will be that Tamil Yoralim Ke Nato Rishus Mi Rabo requires only the authorization of one. So if he has two Rabbeim, right, he doesn't need both. But whatever the din of Talmud Bimkom Rabo is, that applies to both, or to as many as he has. Right? So that, of course, doesn't make any sense at all if you think that because of the relationship, there's just a more intense or either hagdara of the fun of or expansion of kavod even shaloba fun of, because, you know, what difference it makes is 2 or 3 or 10 or 30 or, you know, wonderful rabbeim. So, you know, why should you distinguish between one and the other? Right? But if the din of Talmud Yor Elen Kein Natal is some sort of a authorization, again, whether it's a stature, you know, authorization for psak, or it's more of a mishal, that's a different question still. But the idea that this is a kind of a tnai, you know, that's machshir or an ishur for psak, makes a lot of sense that he requires from one. He doesn't require, you know, from all. Yeah.
And just a minor point that even in this broader perspective of saying fun of is not up to three parsel, it seems to be a little bit of disparity between the Rishonim, because the Shira Rashba says, but fun of paramamish obimkomo ubi'iro.
Yeah. So bimakomo ubi'iro. Right. I was going to add that. That's the Chuvisa Rashba. Yeah. As opposed to others who think that it's really literally b'fun of. And again, in terms of the Chi of Misa, that's an interesting. Again, so the debates whether Chi of Misa is mamish b'fun of or b'iro, or Begimel Parsos, is it just a question of where you draw the line, but everybody agrees it's the same kind of halacha? Or once again, you can understand certain things about, you know, Befan of Mamish, which become more difficult to sustain if you're talking about Gimel Parsos. So we're talking about, you know, Siyata Deshmaya and getting the best Psak, and that's why it's rebellious, or is it more really, you know, usurping the Rebbe, you know, kind of ignoring, you know, his stature and so on. Yeah.
Is it possible that the Ritva has a different understanding of the Raven?
Could be. What do you have in mind? Maybe
so what I said before, I was reading from the Ritva, that's why I said it differently.
Okay, go ahead.
Yesh Omrim dekol b'fan of Asur v'chayev Misa min haTorah, klomar Misa b'idei Shemayim, k'ufted Rabbi Eliezer, v'hainu toch shalosh parsaos, v'chotzel gemel parsaos, mutter min haTorah, ela sh'asur misum gzeiraso shov abeinu hakadosh.
Oh, you mean like that sounds like Tosis in a way?
That's.
Isn't that like the Tosis in Sanhedrin?
I guess that kind of sounds like Tosis in Sanhedrin.
Isn't that? Say it one more time. But it sounds like Tohi thinks is Gimel. Is the name of the Ravid too? Or different?
Yeah, and then he says, but he said that's Ravid's all.
So there are two reports of the Ravid. Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Toch Gimel is Befanav.
Yeah.
And Chutz Mi Gimel is Talmud Al Yoralim Kenatosh Rav. So that is similar to the Tosan Sanhedrin, the Pashas of Tosan Sanhedrin. Okay, good. In a way, superficially at least, the Ravid is quoted by the Rajba in a way is a little bit opposite of the Rambam, which we're going to discuss in just a minute. Right, because it's, although I don't really believe this to be true, but one could have thought it's opposite of Rambam, because the Rambam does speak about the din of Kvod Rabo in Hilchos Sanhedrin, it's Bifnei Rabo. Right, speaks about it in Perek Hei Hilchos Talmud Torah, but he also speaks about it in Perek Chaf, Hilchos Sanhedrin, as we noted, whereas the din of Talmud Yor Elim Kei Nato Rishus Mi Rabo, you know, one could think is only mentioned in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Okay. So is it possible that Bifnei Rabo is a din in getting the best psak
and that Elam Kenot Rishus Mirabo is just a din in Kavod. We'll see that the factor of Kavod in the Rambam is very prominent. However, as I said, I think that the bigger picture of the Rambam is not that way, because in the end of the day, the Rambam has Yore Yore, together with, you know, Yatir and the Darim and Psamim, as I said, also in Parag Dalid of the Sanhedrin. I think that's his way of saying that there's a chalos smicha le hora'a. Question whether you always need it is a different question, but at least there is such a category. If not for that, one would have thought that in a certain sense the Rambam's view is opposite of that of the Ravid cited in the Rajba. Personally, I don't think that's what he's saying. Okay. So these are some of the shittas. Tosas we discussed. The way the Kiddushei Ran and Sanhedrin understands it, Talmud Chaver. And as I mentioned, Tosas and Sanhedrin, I was referring to the Tshuva of the Rivash, which we'll get back to, but the Rivash in Simen Reish Ayin Aleph understood that the second level of Rava, according to Tosas, is the din of Talmud Al Yoralim Kenato Rishus, but that applies only to Rebbe Mufak, perhaps, and so on. And Yaakov is bringing to our attention that maybe the Ritva holds that way in the name of the Rite. Okay. What is the Shita Sarabim in general? Let's move our attention away from the Bali Tosas and the Chachmei Tzvah in a moment, just to address the Rambam. So as I said, on the one hand, it seems like the Rambam omits Talmud al-Yora, Elam Kenato Rishus Mirabo, Legamri from Ilchos Sanhedrin. He doesn't have that phrase in Ilchos Sanhedrin, even though he does have the din of Bifnei Rabo in Perek Chaf. On the other hand, as I said, I think we can't lose sight of the fact that this whole Shaka Vitaria comes in the Gemara under why do you need Yora, and the Rambam has Yora, and he has it as part of Pardal. The reason that if you didn't have that corrective, you might have thought that this was just a din in Kavod is because the Rambam definitely, more than any other Rishon, accentuates that point. Now again, if you think that Talmud al-Yore, you know, is connected with Bifnei Rabo, that this perspective makes a lot of sense. But the Rambam expands, you know, even beyond that link. How so, Rabbi? Why do I say the Rambam expands? Well, number one is treatment is where? Talmud al Yoreh Lim Kein Noto Rishus Mirabo for the Rambam. It's in Perikei Hichos Talmud Torah. And somebody could read it just quickly. How does it begin?
He starts off talking about clearly about Kavod, but he also, the Kiddush Rambam there is specifically that Derech Harai is not.
Yeah, so if you have it open, just read the first couple of halachos. And it's similarly in Sefer Mitzvos, Reish Tes, right? Again, what is Sefer Mitzvos, Reish Tes? Context? Kavod HaRav. Yeah, exactly. So it's in those two places where the Rambam chooses to deal with this issue. So one could have thought that the Rambam has a very narrow view, that this is just about Kavod HaRav. Given his also inclusion in Perek Dalid, I think it just shows that he thinks that there are two dinim, or that the din of Kavod HaRav itself has substantive elements as well. How does Ram start Parakei? Let's just read get that on the record. He starts off. Okay. Yeah. So that's already obviously sets the tone for this parak. Go ahead, keep going.
And try to skip to the
more Moshe. No. Cholek al Rabo, kecholek al Mashkina. First.
Yeah. So.
I have no
idea.
So that, of course, is again, these are things that appear in the Gemara. It's fascinating that the Rambam codified them, you know, not just as Melitzos and Divrei Agada, right, but as Divrei Halacha. Right? So, Cholek al Rabo kecholek im Ashchina, or Mor Rabcha kemor Shemayim, is part of this. Now, is that just kavod, or is there, therefore, a kind of a substantive element in it, too, in terms of authority, Mesorah, right? Osmamrim, right? I suspect that that's a lot what's going on here. It's not just a question of, oh, you know, kod aviv, kod rabo. What? Say again? Oh, go ahead, read that.
I'm not sure which verse it was.
Yeah. In terms of, I think what it says, kecholik im rabo. Okay. Keep going. Okay.
So fine. So kol osim riba im rabo, kol osim riba im ashkina, shem asher rabo bnei Yisrael, Hashem yikadosh bam.
Now again, you have to understand also, this is Ha'ara, that I think is true, that, you know, these, again, a lot of these are based on Gemaras. The Rambam happened to expand in some of the Gemaras. I'm not going to demonstrate that right now, but some of them he did, in addition to just citing them. But you also have to understand something else, and that is that for the Rambam's, given the Rambam's sensitivity in particular, these should be very difficult, you have to be very careful when you talk this way, right? That's the Rambam was acutely sensitive, you know, to the unique and singular, you know, kavod that you know, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam commands. So when you make these equations, you know, more rabbi, more shemayim, fine. But when you expand on it, and you're the Rambam with his acute theological you know, caution and sensitivity. So it's very likely that you think that this is really a halacha, and it's a din, and it's not just a melitza b'alma, because it isn't just kavod. The idea, like in parents, is that the mesora of Torah comes through both parents and rebbein, and therefore, there's an aspect really of kind of a connection, you know, to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you know, in this way, you know, v'davakta ba, you know, is dveikus to Talmud Chacham, you know, mesi bito, you know, l'Talmud Chacham, you know, like the Sifrei says, like the Rambam codifies. So in a way, these aren't just, you know, again, it's not just etiquette here. There's an acknowledgement here that, you know, Mevi'a L'chai Olam Abba isn't just schar v'onesh, but it's, you know, exposing the person, exposing Tamina to a certain kind of, you know, way of life, and hopefully being a proper exemplar, you know, of transcendence a little bit. So you have to be careful not to, you know, overdo theologically, but at the same time, this is like a very important. If you have an exoteric religion, you know, then you also, at the same time, need to have mechanisms that integrate transcendence through that exoteric religion. So it's the material itself, Torah itself, right? Kudsha Brichov Araisa, you know, Chad, which is a, you know, statement of the Zohar. But the Rambam has, you know, the equivalents of that, you know, the Achdut HaMaskil, the HaMuskal, and other things. And it's also the, you know, the people that you get that from, both in terms of the transmissions and the relationships equally as much, Rabo and other, the Emo, that, you know, Gimel Shutfin Ba'adam, each in a different way, become part of that as well. So Dafka, if you take an exoteric approach, so, you know, the people who expose you to the values, but also to them as transcendent, not just as, you know, oh, this is a good way to live, this is a healthy way to live, psychologically healthy, meaningful, right, pragmatically, because, you know, it'll get you a Chai Olam Haba. It's much more than that. There's a certain sense of transcendence of, you know, this way of life, and the inner logic of it, the so being Davek B'Shechina, by being Davek B'Talmidei Chachamim, And especially the, you know, relationship to a Rebbe. Again, as Rav Elbel points out, we'll speak a little more about this, right, there are two dinim, you know, in these prakim. One is Talmud Chacham generally, and the other one is, you know, Rabo Mufak. And there are some differences, obviously. But in this aspect of it, meaning this, you know, Ki'ilu Cholek Im Ashchina, Ki'ilu Davek B'Shchina,
etc., you know, there's a lot of overlap. And it's due to these things. Keep going. So this, of course, is that there are two. This is our halacha.
So it seems so. You know, the Rambam is extending it to not even psak.
Exactly. So number one, so the Kesa Mishnah kind of denies it, right?
Yeah.
What does this mean? Koveya Medrash. Again, read the language again. Yeah. So the Pashtus, we're talking about opening up a rival, yeshiva, basically. You know, where does it say that anywhere that you can't do that? I'm not talking about Asagas Gul. We're talking about Kecholei Kimrabba. It's Cholei Kimrabba. Maybe he's only going to give over the Rebbe's Torah. Like every Shir Klali, we'll quote the Rebbe a few times. Right? That probably helps. But, you know, maybe it helps, but I guess if it's Shalom Brishas Rabbo, I don't know. I guess it can go either way, or both ways, same time, right? So, like, that's Cholei Kimashchina. You're not saying everything the Rebbe said was... Of course, it was Eli here, yeah. Pumfakert, right? He's not saying that. He's saying, he's adding an ofach mishalo. Maybe he's not even doing that. That's Cholei Kimrabba. What does the Ramach say about it? What does the Kesa Mishnah say about it? The Kesa Mishnah says it's Torah. Yeah. So what do you think about it, Isaac? How you read the Rambam? But that's very significant. Meaning, the Kesef Mishnah knew how to read Rambams, certainly as well as us, and certainly better. But he obviously is reacting to what's very mechudash in the Rambam, and he just can't believe it. That's Cholei Kimrabba. He's going to say a shir on Karahori Kachol, right? And he put up a shingle before that. We'll get to it. So he says, no. Of course, it's very fascinating. Two things are fascinating in Kesa Mishnah. Number one, reading the Rambam Shalom Kapshuto tells you what a Chiddush it is and how unacceptable it was with Kesa Mishnah. But moreover, the Kesa Mishnah had to be able to look himself in the mirror and think that this could mean that. So the idea that Koveya Medrash Vidoresh, that's Psak, is also very interesting, right? Meaning Psak is Noveya from good learning and good lovedness. You know, it's like, What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing, that Yisro was critical of? What was he doing? He was being Doresh. Probably that's the pshat. So and the what is it? The Unkla says Lemitva Ulfin. So Moshe Rabbeinu was giving shir all day. So Kesa Mishnah probably thinks he was being rendering Piske Halacha. That's what Yisro certainly addresses. So the idea that you could, the Doresh Hashem, or Doresh, to lead to a proper Psak, that's the idea. So there's a dual Chiddush in the Kesa Mishnah. What does Ramach say? Isaac, you have that too or not? No? No one has the... No one has the Ramach? What's that? Yeah. Or by itself. Hey, do you know what has the Ramach and the Rambam? In Frankel, they should have it, no? There's also a separate book called Kiddush Ramach, but the Frankel pretty much. What?
Yeah. So that's what Ramach
had
to be Rabbeinu.
What's he saying?
Sounds like he's saying that it would be even more usher. So he doesn't know where the Rambam gets this idea of being Yoshik Dorish anyway. He's saying Koshkin in the Sakhim and Shalosh Parsos. It should definitely be usher if he's distracting.
The Ramach is reading the Rambam Kipshuto.
He definitely thinks that it's problematic to Rambam saying Yoshik Dorish. Yeah, Koshkin at the end is a Koshkin.
Read the whole thing again?
Yeah. Because of Ramach al-Divrei Rabbeinu, a few yek devara, she'asu the horos, doing the second medrash shalosh parsos. Ma'ayin lo she'asav d'gvoa medrash p'chayi rabo b'ir rabo koshkin in the second medrash shalosh parsos.
I thought he was saying less.
It should be more mutter if it's
right. Shalosh parsos. Right, correct. Anyways, this is an interesting argument, but obviously the Rambam thinks that this is about being koveya, yeshiva, and so on. Again, I don't think it's totally separate from authorization to be a certain kind of person, rabbinic personality, necessarily, but it isn't about, if you don't hold like the Kesa Mishnah, it's not technically about psak. It's about separating yourself, you know, without getting the blessing of and the sanction of. So again, is that pure kvod rabo, or again, as a way of, you know, not being at odds with the notion of Masorah, or at least, you know, getting, it's a way of at least, you know, some quality control, like who's going to put up a sign and open up a new institution, and so on. Yeah.
The Ramah has in Bihira.
He says what?
No, the Ramah as in
Be'ir Rabo. Oh, Be'ir Rabo. Okay. Go ahead. What else is there in the Rambam?
Then next, also the Adam Mahoros Be'ir Rabo Lo'ola.
Yeah.
The next line.
Correct. Because that's a different, right?
The Kash is that it's a different level.
Different point. And again, the Chiluk between Akroi and Keva?
That's in Nahuaka Kimmel also.
Keep going. That's based on the Gemara Neirubin, right? Yeah, that's of course very critical. He has to be a gomer, he has to be somebody who. And that's where the Ram goes into.
Ram thinks that even if he didn't receive the Tilshus from his Rebbe, at least Pashas and Ram, if his Rebbe dies, he can be.
He can be Mora.
If he's
the Gilo. Correct. So, number one, the Rambam has both, has Kulas and Chumras here, basically, is the point. Number one, he has expanded this halacha. First, he's put it in a context of Kavod. He's put it in a context of Cholek Imashchina, and he's expanded it, the Pashtus, against the Kesef Mishnah, right, to, you know, being Koveya Mokom, right, Yeshiva, and so on. Right, even to teaching or to setting himself up as a rabbinic personality and so on. That's the chumrah or the expansion of the Rambam, correct? At the same time, there are several kulas in the Rambam, right? One is the difference between keva and akroi, which doesn't appear in the Gemara, but which if it's a din in, you know, if it's a din in the specific psak is a problem. If it's a din in either kvod rabo, generally, or in, you know, becoming like a personality, right, somebody of greater stature, so then we can understand that distinction between keva and akroi. But the other point is that, according to the Rambam, this din, right, only applies, just like kvod ava v'imo, you know, only applies, you know, when it's possible. So too, kvod rabo, right, is in this application of it is only when he's alive, but it sounds like in theory that a person doesn't need the tilos reshus mirabo, right, in order to be out there. Now again, in light of what the Rambam says in Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin that yori yori is part of the smicha, so again that could just be that there's a chalos smicha. It doesn't necessarily mean that he needs some sort of authorization or. Maybe the Rambam holds you do need an authorization of some sort, and that's implicit in Perek Dalet. Then there's another aspect, or that it has to also come mi rabo, because obviously if you get authorization for someone else, it's not going to help you with the Perek Hei Hilkos Talmud Torah issues that the Rambam is dealing with. That part of it certainly is limited to a situation where there is a Rebbe. Now the Rambam's Chiddush
distinguishing between, you know, the rabbo being alive or not, and keba and akrai, those are chidushim that not other rishonim or poskim need to agree with at all. They're not obvious at all, and they follow a certain pattern. Similarly, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, what's the perspective there? Reish Tes? Rabbi, have it? What's the language that's supportive of it? Because there's one other thing I wanted to add to it. Is the Rambam Shita limited to Hora, Nisa V'Heter? Or does it apply also to Dine Maminus? Yakir, you have it? Reish Tes? Ariel? Nobody's computer has a Reish Tes?
Again.
It's getting there?
Something.
Okay, Yakir, go ahead. That's Rabbo as opposed to. Yeah, go ahead.
Shane Carberu Shechok Rabbo Allah, Yoser Gadal Mechok Adim, Shechiba Kasam Khabda of Lira Mimano. There Amir Adim Rabbo Rabbo Kodam. Carberu Shane Motel Tamil Lachel Rabbo.
Okay. All right. So it's the same basic sheet, but he adds a line, a word there that's very important, namely?
Din.
That it's not just Torah, it's also din. It sounds like even Dine Maminus. So it's interesting to note, did anybody get a chance to see the tshuva of the, we mentioned it another time already, but the tshuva of the Mabit? What was it, Reish Pei? That's when he talks about, you know, the diffusion of the things also. No one got to see that yet? The Mabit, anybody see it? Mabit claims that the takana of Talmud al Yora Elim Kein Natal Rishus Mei Rabba, because the Gemara says it by Hora, right? Gemara says Yora, like what do you need it for, right? The Gemara says Talmud al Yora Elim Kein Natal Rishus Mei Rabba, but the Rambam, again, he doesn't say it specifically about this point, but sounds like he thinks that the whole din of Kvod Rabba, which is his, partly at least, his understanding of this, applies not just to Isur V'Heter, but also to Din, right? The Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos. Maybe the Mabit seems to disagree. Maybe he didn't see the Sefer Mitzvos, maybe only basing it on Yad HaChazaka. But he does say that there's a difference between Kvod Rabba, the din of Bafanov, and the din of LMK. Nobody has it? Who has it? Go ahead.
Nearly the other way to divide the shows for the number of parts. So I was kind of like, kind of, the Barra, Isser Vector, commands the child, the Gaza of Rosa Shah. Listen to the Yor, the listener of the Yor, and Nami, the Master of Isser Vector, the Trashi, the Yor, Yora, Yor, Yodin, Abba Lodun, low by the Delta Shows for the number of parts.
Yeah. But when it comes to Bifne Rabbo, the Erevin Dinim, that applies to Din as well as Tisa V'Heter. Correct? It's only the Takana in Sanhedrin that applies only to Hora. So the Rambam seems to disagree with that. And the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot seems to disagree with that. But that seems to be the view of the Mabit. So... What?
I'm going to do that first.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So basically what the Mabit is saying, which is a terrific, that's why it's such a good piece, is that there are two different dinim that have nothing to do with each other. Right? One is a din in kavod, and therefore there's no difference between being done and being moreh, as he says. The other is a question of, apparently, of like authorization. And authorization, we're worried about the michshol, let's say, or we need extra authorization, you know, when it comes to hora. Maybe because, anyway, to become a dayan, you need to be a samach or other things, and therefore you have it already, or just maybe because the real problem is more michshol, and that, in some respects, is, you know, it's not just about money, right? And it's not reversible, right? It's hard to know what the distinction is, but it sounds like we're dealing with two completely different dinim, according to the Mabit. And those who would disagree, you know, again, if you hold that the requirement of Talmud al Yoram Kenot Rishus Mirabo applies also in din, even though not the conscious thing, but that, you know, I don't think that logically that's so difficult to explain either way. But I think the Chiddush is, if you're making the distinction, it's understandable based on the Makoros, but it does imply that we're dealing with two different issues, two different things. So getting back to, we have the Ravid's view, right, that if you have two Rabbeim, so the Kavod Halacha would apply to both, and the Elam Karnatal Rishus requires, you know, only one. And you have this Mabit that is, you know, quite, you know, similar in a way, in the distinction between Isur V'Heter and Din. Of course, one could have, if you disagreed with the Rambam, you could have said another nafkamina is that, you know, the, of course, the Din of Bifnei Rabbo is only when there is a Rebbe, and the Elam Kenato Rishos Mirabo is that you always need authorization one way or another. So how do you get authorization if there is no Rebbe, if the Rebbe is not alive? How would we test that out? Oh. So, again, if it's a din in kvod rabo, so what the Rambam says is eminently reasonable, but if it's a din in authorization, right, so what are you going to do if you have no Rebbe? So here, we look for the possibility of substitution. Can you substitute, you know, the Rebbe in this gzeira for someone else? So there's a little bit of historical background to that, number one. You saw the tshuva already in the Rivash or not, and that whole controversy? I didn't see it. No? So maybe I'll hold off discussing it until Tuesday in more detail, but the, you know, famous discussion with the Maram Alevi from Vienna, right? You know, it was a big fight, you know, who can give smicha? Institutionalized smicha, only the, like, the chief rabbi gives a smicha, right? Or, you know, every rebbe individually can give smicha. Like, who should sign the smichas? Ooh. Anyways, so, again, it's an interesting thing. When it comes to classical smicha, right, it's, because that's part of what the din is, it's ish mipish. You know, ad beis dino shel Yoshua, ad beis dino shel Moshe Rabbeinu, right, as we discussed extensively. You know, it's one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. There's no din of Rebbe per se, right? Although there might be, you know, within the three somchim, especially if you hold that only one needs to be a samuch, and even if three need to be a smuchin, there might be one who's like, you know, the, you know, masmich harashi. You know, there might be issues of nafkaminas, as we'll get back to. But basically, the authorizing body, part of the whole story there is the unbroken chain, and that's what smicha, you know, is part of the alban. When it comes to phase two, so it's the nasi in Eretz Yisrael and the Reish Galusa, right? That's already a much more institutionalized, you know, thing. Again, we discussed whether that has impact on it. Is it a smicha le'inyan zeh? You know, just that it's legabe, you know, kfiya and tashlumin and so on and so forth. Or maybe it isn't that at all. It's about, you know, it's like the DMV. It's, you know, it's much more pragmatic and much more efficient. But either way, it's a din in nasi
and Reish Galusa. And what we noted there was there's an interesting argument between the Rishonim, right, the Tosas or Beni Yona, then you get into, you know, into the Rivash and others, you know, about whether or not somebody who receives, you know, authority from the Nasi and Reish Galusa, so does he become like a Samuch, or a, you know, a makabel rishus l'inyan zeh, that he can give it to someone else? That's the discussion that we had, right? Tosa said that, and the Rabbeinu Yonah thinks that it's totally wrong. And what the Rivash and others were trying to explain was, you know, of course a samuch can give smicha, you know, because, and he's not the shliach of his masmich. Maybe there everybody's a shliach of Moshe Rabbeinu or of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but the point is because that's what it is. But if you know. Even if you take the view that, number one, it's not so clear if the source of authority is the Nasi and the Reish Galusa, you know, that anybody can, you know, represent them, be their ambassador, you know, in a pragmatic way. And even if it were true, then at least they'd have to be alive and the institution would have to be there, because it's not, you know, some objective thing. In which case it's, you know, ner lecha, ner lemea, and, you know, it's just the next, you know, transmission, you know, is independently value. It's you know, really the authority flows from that person or that office. So that was part of that whole discussion. So when it comes to the third phase, we'll call it, you know, Talmud al Yorilim kenotel rishus mirabo, it's an interesting question. Two. So according to the Rambam, it's pretty clear that this is a din in Rabbo. Again, because it's pure kavod, or because I've tried to make the case based on what he writes in the Sanhedrin and also the way he writes about it in the Talmud Torah, that it's more than kavod, or that the kavod itself has greater meaning here. But fine. The point is it's still it's the capacity to have it and then not to, you know, not to get it. That's the problem. If there's a Rebbe out there, and he could be authorizing, he's uniquely or singularly suited because of the impact that he makes on you, or the fact that he's your, you know, connection to the Mesorah and to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in a certain way, you know, Borabcha Kemora Hashchina, and so on. So bypassing that is unacceptable. But as a positive requirement for Yorah, either you get that through Smicha in Perek Dalet without Rabbo, or not, or maybe you don't need it at all. There's a chalos, but you don't need it as long as you're a gomir and you have the proper conditions to be posek. As the Rambam himself in the continuation, as Rabbi read it before, says, there is no Rebbe, so, you know, you can paskin. That's what it sounds like he thinks. He just, with one very critical caveat, namely, that you're higia lahara, and then he starts quoting the Gemaras in Chagiga about, you know, Rabbam chalala mipila, Harugim Kalatsumeha, that that we're critical of people who are Mora Hora when they're not competent, and we're critical of people who are not Mora Hora, you know, they should be stepping up when they are, and we're far more critical of the first kind than we are of the second kind. Right. So, you know, what that level of competence that the Rambam requires is a very high level. How do we know that? So somehow it has to be established. It doesn't mean that psak, you know, isn't formal and is maramakom, b'chas v'shalom, doesn't mean that at all. It just means that even without a sanctioning body, you know, there are other ways, I guess, to establish a person's, you know, worthiness. And that's the Rambam's view. So this is a prerogative, sounds like this din is a prerogative, of it flows from the capacity for, and therefore the inability to bypass when it's out there, the relationship of Talmud Rebbe, you know, both in Kavod and in Tochen. Oh. But for other Rishonim, you know, for whom it's not so simple, and you really need this, it's an authorization, it's a prerequisite to Paskin, both either for pure Michshal reasons, or maybe because a kind of quasi-smicha and you need it, even for Yore Yore. So what do you do when there is no Rebbe? So is there a tachlif, a nasi, somebody like that, some other big Talmud Chacham? And if there is, it certainly would point in that direction, meaning that it isn't a din of kavod, it's a din of authorization. What are these two types of authorizations? Either the purely more pragmatic type or the more idealistic type, the smicha type. But then the question, interestingly, would be, if there is a tachlif, so what if you really have a Rebbe, but you got your authorization, you know, from, I don't know, Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shach, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. So, I can mention everybody's heroes from every community, but they acknowledge, you know, great men, you know, of the one of the great men of the generation, right? So, would that work even when there is a Rebbe, or only when there's not a Rebbe? And maybe even it would be alechatchila. Another question, closely related, is what is the relationship between lemaisa, not just conceptually, smicha and or netilas rishus, mean hanasi and bereish galusa, and this din of LMK, not the rishus merabo? Do you need both? If you have smicha, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu or Yoshua, okay, not be a dayan, or right, according to the Rebbe Barzilloni, maybe still be a dayan. But you have a, you know, not from Moshe Rabbeinu, not even from Yoshua. Okay, so let's say from again, you know, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, or no, I guess. A real smicha. Do you need still Elim Kenato Brishus Mirabo? Right, in addition, and is Elim Kenato Brishus Mirabo perhaps a prerequisite? Like nobody should be giving you smicha, even Yehoshua shouldn't give you smicha unless, you know, you first got Rishus Mirabcha? Right? These are very interesting issues, interesting questions. So, oh, okay, I see my time is up. So, let's pick up with that. We'll try to finish with this. We want to speak a little bit more about some of the Rishonim and Eruvim, but especially the Chiddush Eran, Rav David Bonfield, Ramban, the things that they say. I want to pick up on that. And the discussion in the Rivash, Maram Alevi, what about other people substituting, and what about the relationship to Smicha and Tils Rishus? Then we still want to speak about, is there any notion of Roy Lahor's Bechol Torah Kula? We already mentioned it, but we'll just look inside. You know, the Rama, you know, says two radically opposite things, one in the Tshuva and one in Shulchan Aruch. And then I still want to speak a little bit more about, you know, some of the issues that we raised in the Gemara Neiruvin, some of the exceptions to Bimkom Rabo. Again, we're not going to be able to exhaust them, but in the Shulchan Aruch. I still want to speak about the Marik and other things, but, you know, Turbin Rabbanon Chazil Lenafshe, Lafrushe Misura, just at least quickly to see, you know, what some of those distinctions are about. So we have at least one more day, at least Tuesday still. And Tuesday I'll try to bring in Makoros. We saw something about Royal Horos a little more. And then maybe we'll start with Pshar. Okay? Tomorrow's 2 o'clock. We'll start with the beginning of Chela.
I was beginning it from the Rambam integrates Tamash Agil Ora to Dino Tamashis Rabba.
But yeah, I don't know, we'll see.
No, but really, like,